Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Now, this could be a dad rock band, Dave Matthews Band. I think Amelia on Twitter jumped in and said, Pearl Jam's not a dad rock band. You know what? If somebody was listening at 20 years old in 1991 when they popped, do the math.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're about 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, Zetterman's a huge Pearl Jam fan.
Yeah, he's a dad.
He's a dad. How many? 6, 8, 12 kids? I don't know. Well, I think 4 or 3.
I was thinking, I wonder if his kids ever had pizza.
I think he allows his kids to actually sample food, regular food, right. And not make them
just,
eat.
Yeah. Right, just.
You know, by the way, about food, I had something the other day. I have a meal thing that comes in. We'll get right to my NBA thoughts in a second, which I'm sure you're all waiting for with bated breath. I get this stuff delivered to me, like 8 meals, and then you just microwave them. You puncture
the meals
thing.
On wheels. What are you doing?
No, it's called Factor 75. Waddle was advertising for them here on the station. They're out in Batavia, I think. They're really good.
Is it a convenience thing?
Oh, for me, yeah, it's convenience. Plus, they're healthier.
Okay,
like they won't use mashed potatoes. They'll use mashed cauliflower and stuff like that. It tastes just like the same.
Okay.
And a lot of chicken and vegetables and stuff like that, but. What I like, they have shrimp, which is great. 6 pretty good sized shrimp and usually like a vegetable next to it. But they have a tendency of putting the shrimp on a bed of kale. Kale is the most disgusting stuff in the world. It's like eating those weeds that had all the prickly things on them. It's brutal.
So Zetterman's going to get all.
Oh my God!
Bent out of shape. Doesn't he love kale?
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he
center of his food universe.
He probably loves it as a juice. As a juice, it's got to be better than it is in salads.
I have had kale. I went through when I went to California. My buddy was doing the juicing thing.
California is a home of kale.
This is what I'm saying. So we did the juicy thing, and we put a bunch of junk in there that I had no interest in, and I'm just like, throw an apple in there. I've got to have something.
Yeah.
Right. So I would drink that, and as long as you mask the taste, but I agree. I've tried to eat kale. It's like, this is pointless.
Last night, yesterday afternoon, I had one of the meals was a tomato garlic shrimp. I said, okay, cool, that's great. I'll save that for dinner. And then I was going to eat it, and I looked, and I said, there was a nice vegetable next to it. I think it was, I don't know, might have been broccoli or something like that. And then the 6 shrimp were sitting on a bed of kale, and I said, I ain't doing it. I can't have, because I usually just eat the shrimp.
Right.
And as I go, shrimp and the broccoli's not enough. So I had to have a different meal. I had a chicken, some chicken mushroom thing with a bit, chicken breast with mushroom sauce. And
are you supposed to eat 2 at a time of these
meals?
No,
just one. Oh, I didn't eat the other one.
Oh, okay.
I didn't eat the shrimp. I don't know what I'm going to. Maybe for a snack, since this 6 little shrimp is like a cocktail.
But the kale doesn't compromise the shrimp.
Chase it off.
Much like.
Get out of here, kid.
Much like when you go and have dinner somewhere and they put the pickle next to the fries. If you don't like pickles, it ruins at
like
least
pickles?
10 fries.
You don't like pickles?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you see what I'm saying? When you have that pickle right there to sit next to the fry or sit next to the hot dog and it touches it, it compromises.
So when you get a Chicago hot dog, you say, hold the pickle.
I don't get a Chicago hot dog.
Okay. So you don't, you're not a relish guy either then?
No.
Okay.
I don't relish.
Okay. That's good. I like that. So the NBA last night, again, I don't watch the NBA. I watch the Bulls. I don't watch the NBA. I watch the Blackhawks.
Not much.
I don't watch the Blackhawks. All I've watched in the NBA of any game this year was last night. I watched the fourth quarter in overtime because I knew it was close.
Right.
I was thinking it was game 7 in Brooklyn, and it's the Bucks going against the Nets. And if you listened earlier on the way in, the sports centers, it would be hard for you to realize that the Bucks won because every soundbite they played was a member of the Nets.
I totally agree with that.
It's
downplayed.
Yeah. So it was the Bucks that won the game.
Even on SportsCenter this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait.
Yeah.
The Bucks won.
Kevin Durant had 49. Oh, and the Bucks advance.
It's like Bucks.
I know. I know. It's like when Tiger Woods was playing golf. It's round 3 of the U.S. Open, and Tiger Woods is 5 shots back of the leader. Okay, well, who's the leader? We forgot to give it to you. We'll give it to you next update. But anyway, so I'm watching the game last night, and as soon as the game was over, I had the tweet all set, And all of a sudden they said, well, no, the ball was actually tipped. There's still 0.3 seconds left. I said, okay, stranger things have happened in the NBA. I'm not going to hit send until people are walking off the court. So anyway, the Bucks shoot two free throws. They make the free throws. They end up winning the game. And I think it's great because one of the things I hate about the NBA is all the super teams. And this probably is good for the Bulls and good for other teams that are building. Because, Tyler, I need your help. Because some of the other teams that have gotten ousted, okay, Utah Jazz, right? They're out, right?
Mm-hmm. Lakers.
Yeah. Well, see, Lakers are kind of a super team when you got AD and LeBron, I think. And then, obviously, you know, last night, Blake Griffin actually had a good game for the Nets. But the Nets, talk about building a team to help you win a game seven. Their bench contributed 0 points last night. 0 points. And, their guys played a lot of minutes yesterday. Everybody played a lot of minutes. Harden shot like crap. Durant was really good. But I think it's a good thing. It would have been bad for me if the Lakers and the Nets would have won, because then it's like, okay, well, now
it's
more teams.
It's validating super team concept.
Yeah, because the Bucks certainly are not a super team.
Right.
You know, they've got one guy and then they need help from others. And
but do you really think that is going to stop that trend?
Not at all.
See, that's the thing.
No, it's not going
to
help.
We would
at all.
Like to see.
I would love to see
that trend.
I would love to
slow
see it
down,
stop.
But it's not going to.
And it's because it's brutal. You got all these teams, and they're trying to make it more enticing by adding, you know, that play-in game for the 9th and 10th teams and things like that. It's like, oh, who cares? The Atlanta Hawks are playing later on today against Philadelphia. Philadelphia, one of the team that says, you know, let's blow it up. Let's just let's tank for years and build up. Now they finally got a couple of players. So they play game seven tonight, I think it is, right?
Tonight. You can hear that here on ESPN 1000.
Because there's a 3 o'clock game, and that is the game one of the Western Finals, right?
I gotta look.
Phoenix and whoever the
Clippers.
Yeah, Phoenix and the Clippers. I think it's game one because both Chris Paul's out and also Kawhi is out. So that is later on this afternoon. But I was so happy, and I'm watching the game, and I'm not a big Bucks fan. And I know people here at the station kind of are, because Good Karma has like 2 or 3 stations up in Milwaukee.
Yes, we do.
And I think Good Karma also owns the station that does the Bucks games.
Yeah.
So a lot of people here are kind of happy to see that the Milwaukee
WTMJ
Bucks win.
Yeah. Up there, yeah.
They're very, very happy to see that the Bucks win. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. And then after the game, they talked to Giannis. And, you know, Giannis was playing hard, and it was very tough for him to shoot free throws because the place was going crazy every time he went to the line. But I was just so happy to see the team not win, the Nets. And I didn't want to see the Lakers win. And a lot of people in the NBA said they want to see, you know, when the Lakers didn't get in, they said, well, this is going to be bad for the NBA. The ratings are going to be down, this, 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 and this. I think if you have good competitive games, that's better for the sport. Now, people may disagree with me. 312-332-3776.
Here's the problem with that. Those are really dialed-in sports fans. But when you have the casual that want to see a LeBron, that want to see the big names.
Yeah, there's no Warriors because they didn't, you know,
right.
They didn't make it
this
far.
That is where that philosophy falls flat.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, that's what the NBA is trying to do, get those casual fans in with the big names. So it's not just all about the competition. If it were that simple, things would not be where they are right now.
Yeah. So it was a great game. I mean, what were your thoughts of the game, Tyler? I'm sure you watched it.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. And the whole back and forth with KD and Giannis. I mean, Kevin Durant, the fact that this guy tore his Achilles, that is usually a career almost ender.
Yeah.
And the fact that he has come back, and right before he tore the Achilles, he was looking like the best player on the planet.
Yeah.
And he has come back, and he really has not skipped a beat. And to me, that is super impressive. And he always had the skill set where he was a guy who's going to shoot over people. He gets to the rim, but he's not a guy who depends on explosiveness to be the player that he is. And that's
his outside shots. I mean,
yeah.
if his foot is an inch off the line, then that's advanced.
Right.
Because he hits a turnaround jumper with 1 second left, and his foot was on. And he knew it immediately because you could see him how disgusted he was because he made the shot and they were tied, but he thought he was behind the line.
Right.
And he wasn't because of his big feet.
Yeah, that's another old dad saying, whenever the toe's on the line, worst shot in basketball. So, but no, the way that he has rebounded from that injury and still played at the level that he's at and the capability to go out there and get you 40 points multiple times in a playoff series,
right. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Like, he is the best player on the planet right now.
Well, and Giannis said it too. That was like the second question they asked Giannis about Kevin Durant being the best player in the world. It's like, okay, well, I just want a playoff game seven. It would be nice if you asked
a little bit
about our team. Right. Yeah.
But I think it was the first game seven the Bucks have won in franchise history.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And it was the only problem is, and one of the reasons I dislike the game, there's no flow to it. Oh, the whole fourth quarter is fouling and shoving out of bounds. It's like, oh, my God. There's no flow up and down the court to the game. I don't know. It just seemed brutal. I don't know. Maybe there was some earlier in the game. When Durant gets the ball, it's great. But, you know, they don't have the guy. People talk about Jordan, when Jordan was playing. Well, who won big games for them? Jordan won a couple of big shots, okay, in the playoffs. So did Steve Kerr. So they weren't pissed. They weren't passing the ball to anybody else in the Nets. It was going to be Harden or Durant, nobody else. But, you know, Jordan would do other things to win games where Durant just said,
this.
And that was part of the problem, too, because I think the Nets only scored 2 points in the overtime as well. And one of the things that made them really good in I believe it was game five, was even though Harden was pretty much out there as a decoy and did nothing on the court, his ability to pass the ball, find guys like Joe Harris off of back cuts and open things up for him, just his presence on the court created a lot of problems for the Bucks. And then they sort of latched on and realized, okay, he's not going to beat us with anything. The fact that he is coming off of a hamstring injury and out there for 52 minutes last night, you know that he's just out there because he has to keep it warm, because if he stops playing, it's going to tighten up and he pretty much can't go anymore.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that most NBA fans, there's no sympathy. You know, you heard him say last night, well, you know, Harden was injured and Kyrie couldn't play. I don't think there's an NBA fan out there that feels bad for the Nets, because I heard the number on the way in. Counting the playoffs, the big three of Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving played 15 games together. They played 8 games together in the regular season. So does regular season really mean anything in the NBA? I mean, and that's not what it should
be. Well, it doesn't to the competition, but it does to the wallets.
Yeah, I guess. 312-332-3776. You want to jump in on that? We also got some Father's Day stuff coming up. We're going to talk some Bears, because I know a lot of Bears fans were a little upset by what they heard earlier in the week when Sylvie's asking questions to Matt Nagy. We'll get to that and a lot more. It's Fred and Xander here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So the NBA playoffs continue. The NHL playoffs, from what I've understood, are still going on.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
they are.
The Islanders did something.
When's the last time you remember the Islanders, Mike Bossy Islanders? Years ago.
Trottier and Bossy.
Yeah.
We used to go to the game, me and a girl and my other buddy.
Was it Dryden? No. He was Canadian.
It was Resch. Chico Resch.
Chico Resch.
Was in goal. Yeah, I was a big hockey fan back in the day. Between expansion and continued teams, they get out.
Seattle's getting the Kraken, too.
Yeah, I know. That's not going to be watched. By me, at least. 312-332-3776. If you have any thoughts on what you saw last night in the NBA playoffs. Like I said, I just posted. I didn't care who won, but I was extremely happy the Nets didn't. So it didn't matter to me who won.
Yeah, you weren't necessarily rooting for one team or another, but a concept you're rooting against.
Yeah. Yeah, and
which
I just was happy to see that. And I love one of their broadcasters, Sarah Kustak. Sarah Kustak did sideline reporting for me in my first year of doing Chicago Fire broadcasts. Mm-hmm. So I love that Sarah grew up here and had a career
here for a while, and she's now in New York.
Yep, and she does the Brooklyn Nets broadcasts with Ian Eagle. And, it's great. It's very, very cool. But I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm glad the Nets aren't going out.
Well, she can take her vacation now.
Yeah, sure she could. But she's, you know, she does a lot of stuff. There's a great podcast. You get a chance. There's a podcast out there that we had my guy on, George Hoffman, a while back.
I heard that episode with Sarah.
Yeah, it's very good. Yep. That was good. And the episode with Gian Greco is really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of really good ones out there. And it's called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. And some good stuff. Yeah, so if you get a chance, listen to the Sarah one, because it was so much fun working with her and Chris Dorn when I did Chicago Fire game. And people say, why don't you talk more about the Fire? Well, score a goal, and I'll talk about you, okay? They lost yesterday 2-0. And Arlo White, a guy that used to do Major League Soccer games, went over to England. He's been doing games over there for the networks and stuff like that. He's the announcer for the Fire. He's doing 4 games. He did last night's. He's doing the next 3.
Mm-hmm.
The next 2 are home games. They play Wednesday night at Soldier Field, Saturday night at Soldier Field. And I'll be at both of those games. Score a goal. That's, you know, score a goal, and then maybe we can bring you up and talk about you.
So will Soldier Field just be a field of soccer play in the future?
I don't know. It's a good question.
And you had that pull up, you and Hanley, yesterday. Yeah. How did that turn out?
It turned out we had just 2 questions, right? A renovated Soldier Field.
Yeah, would you rather be watching Bears at a renovated Soldier Field or a new place in Arlington Park?
I want to say it was 78%.
New place?
New place, yeah. The new place. The thing that I don't get, and Sylvie mentioned it, we can get into it now if you want to talk about it, 312-332-3776, about the Bears moving to Arlington Heights. So many people say, oh, it'll be great because we can get a Super Bowl in the NCAA tournament. And are you going to be able to go to those events? I mean, how many people are going to actually go to those?
People are all of a sudden thinking about being part owners and all the revenue that's going to come in.
Do you go to a lot of Super Bowls in Indianapolis? Do you go to the game because it's close to home? No, you sit at home and you watch the game. So what difference does it make if it's in your town or not? I've never understood that.
Well, I think there's a certain excitement that people kind of feed off of when that's the case. When the All-Star game was here in Chicago, there's a certain amount of excitement, or the All-Star game at the United Center.
Only if there's things that you can participate in. Only if there's things you can participate in if you don't have to go to the game. Because how many people are going to get into the game?
See, well, that's true. That's true. It's the excitement around it.
Right. It's the excitement around it. A baseball All-Star game, you get more tickets because there's more tickets available. Okay.
Right.
But for the Super Bowl, they're giving tickets out to everybody. Sponsors, corporate sponsors, every team, every player.
The average Joe is the last one to go to the Super
Bowl.
Right.
So what's the difference if you can have a Super Bowl here? If it helps your team, and I was trying to think yesterday, I don't recall a team building a new stadium and then getting good, or getting good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, SoFi Stadium, where the Rams and the Chargers are playing. Okay, Chargers got a new quarterback. The Rams, they bring in Matthew Stafford. The Bears will be out there for the first game of the season this year on that Sunday night. But it's not like building a stadium helps your team get better. Now, I don't agree with what Lori Lightfoot said. And she said, "Why don't you just work on getting better?" On the field and stuff like that.
Reading that, I was like, right. Boy, that's kind of crossing.
And the odds are that she's not going to be mayor when the eventual
probably
thing is.
Probably not.
You know, they do have a lease that runs till 2033.
Right. But you know how many things can happen? Well, first of all, they put in an offer.
Right.
Okay. It's going to take a while to review it if they accept it. Then it's going to take a while to clear all of that. There's an incredible amount of buildings on that property.
They're all pretty low. I mean, other than the main.
No. But I'm saying that's a lot of work to clear it, then to prepare it, then to come up with the plans, then to build it, and then So I don't know how many years that really equals. But then you have a situation where if they're really ready, money talks. You can buy out a lease.
They can buy out
just
a lease.
Just like if you're in an apartment, you have to go. You can make a deal, buy out a lease, and be done with it.
Yeah.
But to have an improved experience, why wouldn't people want that? I mean, you saw it on Twitter the other day. I'm over the charm of Wrigley Field.
Uh-huh.
I'm way over it. I'm over the Soldier Field. When I went up to Green Bay on a vacation, we happened to drive into near the stadium, the new Lambeau, and walked in there. It is like a Mecca shrine mall to the Packers.
Yeah, well, they never got rid of the original. They just built upon that one.
Right.
Yeah. So they just kept building upon
what
they had.
But you can't do that.
At Soldier Field.
Right. See, right. That's a point. But all I'm saying is the experience up there is so actual, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
To the fandom for the Packers. Why wouldn't we want that here?
Right. Well, it would be great to have. But what I'm saying is I don't quite understand why so many people, I understand getting in and out. I mean, when I go to Soldier Field for the Fire game on Wednesday, yeah. It's a Wednesday night, so there's still crowds, people in the neighborhood working.
Yep.
They're actually going to have tailgating, I think, starting 3 hours before the game. So tailgating's going to start at like 4 or 4:30 in the parking lots. So if I'm coming to the game, even though I don't care about tailgating, I better get down here early.
Yeah, it's always been like that.
Yeah.
No matter what's happening at that venue, you better get down there early,
and
you're going to contend with all kinds of other traffic that's, that your ordinary average commuting from to and from work.
And it's hard to get out, and I understand that.
About hard to get into the building.
Yeah, and wanting to move to the other, out to Arlington Heights. But everyone's going to have a complaint about something. People in the city are not going to be happy. And people say, well, you can take the train. The train stops right there. You take the train that goes right past Arlington Park, okay?
Yep.
When you and I know Eric Ostrowski, our guy, he takes a train sometimes, and he would take
we
that train also.
Same hood.
Yeah. So the problem is trains are not like L's, okay? An L runs every 20 minutes. A train doesn't run every 20 minutes.
Well, you bet that they would adjust that? You would bet they would adjust that schedule.
Well, how's that happen? You're going to do it just for Bears fans going to and from a game? You're going to add trains? That's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap, but it will happen.
Yeah.
It will have to happen.
I would think so.
And this crap about you can't call it Chicago anymore, stop with that.
Well, I read them off yesterday. There's 8 or 9 different teams in the
NFL.
Stop
with that.
The 49ers aren't in San Francisco. Dallas is not in Dallas.
Right. Yeah. I guess I was going to say, is it the Foxborough Patriots? But then again, it's New England. It was like they rounded it off.
Yeah, they're the only one. Yeah, because they're not an individual city. But, the ultimate is the New York Jets and New York Giants play in New Jersey. They're not even in the same state.
That's laughable.
Let's go to Randy. Randy, what's going on today?
Hey, Fred. Zed, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to mention Arizona Cardinals. When they played in Sun Devil Stadium for years and years and years and sucked for years and years and years. And then when they built their new stadium, they ended up with winning a couple divisions and going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, there's one.
That is just luck.
Yeah, there's one. Randy, appreciate the
Thank
call.
You.
Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you.
Randy. They've got a very cool stadium because they do something that I know they do it in Europe in a couple places where they actually take their grass and they can pull their grass out of the stadium on like a little slide. The whole field comes out. And it's great because I know they do it in Europe in a couple different facilities, and it's very cool. And people they would actually have that space to do it in Arlington Heights. They could do that if they wanted to.
Yep.
To grow the grass outside and bring it in and then pull it back out so you can put artificial stuff down.
Think about a new place, the fan experience, both during game time and even have a place open to fans like Lambeau is in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
That's when I went. It was a 90-degree in July, We went walking through and it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, they've got the Packer Hall of Fame and all that stuff.
Right.
The other thing is there are no seats. If I'm not mistaken, there are no seats at Lambeau that overhang anything. They're all just straight up, right? It's all just straight up.
I wasn't in there.
Yeah.
I was just in the atrium.
Yeah, so they're if I'm not mistaken, I think all their seats just go straight up. So there's nobody overhanging. Like where I sit for the Fire games, I'm in the 200 section, the last row of the 200 section right by the press box area, and I can't see the Jumbotrons because of the overhang of the upstairs. Which is awful for the fans that are there for football games. They can't see that.
Right.
So hopefully it can be built so you can see stuff. When Thayer and Joniak are doing the broadcast, they can't see punts once they go up in the air. They have no idea where the ball is.
Right.
They have to watch them on TV because they can't see it. They can't see the scoreboards. They can't see any of that stuff.
In the early 2000s, when they landed the spaceship inside Soldier Field, that was about the best you could do with what you have. Now the next step is go and build something that the Bears fans deserve and the team deserves. Now, is that going to equal a great team right away? I don't think so. But, if this Justin Fields turns out the way we hope, this may all be good timing for the growth of the franchise and the experience. Because when we go to a baseball game, a football game, or whatever, we're paying a lot of money. We want an experience.
Yeah.
And we've outgrown Soldier Field. I for me, and I know Northside fans are going to get very upset. I don't enjoy Wrigley Field at all anymore. It's just they've outgrown it. They should want something bigger and better.
You would think they would.
And, and they don't. And that's fine. Nostalgia matters to a lot of people, but I think it's over. Let's just go.
Well, but see, there's another problem. Guaranteed Rate Field is nice and comfortable and large.
Oh, not everybody agrees with that.
But I like Old Comiskey better. I will always Old Comiskey better. Yeah.
Now, is that a function of just nostalgia? It may be.
Oh, I liked everything about it.
No, and that was a fine park, and you hear arguments from both sides. You know, I think getting up to the north side is incredibly hard.
Oh, going to a Cub game, unless you're taking the L, it sucks.
Or you get flown in by a helicopter.
Right.
It is a tough experience. I was there on the walk-off, Grandal walk-off on Wednesday, the day game. You know what? You want to go to a Cork and Kerry, drive down a block, and you have all the crowds you need.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can leave. To me, that's the best of the both worlds. It's not so hard to get around that area. And it's a newer park that has great experiences.
Well, let's see if they can pack them in, because next Friday, the 25th, is going to be their reopening day. So we'll see if the White Sox can pack them in, because I've already heard Cub fans say, well, you only got 18,000. Well, yeah, because they're still not at 100% yet. Let's see what the White Sox fans, if they get out there to the ballpark next weekend.
I got a couple of those comments just that day I was there. I put a picture up, and you know who the Cub fans are.
Yeah,
let's see.
Let's see if they get out there. And again, when the Sox are winning, fans come out. Let's see if they come out next week when they come back home and take on a bad Seattle team. 312-332-3776. We got Father's Day stuff to get to. We'll get into Justin Fields and the Bears as they had their practice earlier in the week. And, some of the guys showed up. Most of the guys showed up. Eddie Goldman still trying to figure out what's going on with him. We'll hear from Justin Fields. We got a lot to do. We're here until 12:30, and then it's White Sox baseball looking to avoid the sweep down in Houston right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So the White Sox trying to avoid that sweep in Houston. Got the starting lineup. Keuchel's on the hill against his old team. We're going to see Anderson leading it off. Moncada batting second. Jose, he's at first base, batting third. Brian Goodwin
is your cleanup hitter. Oh, how far we've fallen.
Now, Grandal's batting fifth. Then you've got Andrew Vaughn, left field. Jake Lamb, right field. Mercedes, batting eighth. Cold bat.
That's about where he belongs.
Yes, and Danny Mendick playing second base, batting nine.
Yeah, that is about where he belongs, because he is struggling so bad right now.
Have you seen that latest theory that Mercedes is kind of crumpled since whole La Russa thing?
They were talking about it last night. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Well, you'd like to think that he'd be able to handle that type of adversity as a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
Like, if you're that fragile.
Yeah.
But I think we all knew that he was going to cool off at some point.
Yeah.
You can't, and La Russa, the league has adjusted to him.
La Russa knew it too.
Right.
La Russa said, let's take advantage of this. This is nice to have. He's young, and you know, young in the big leagues, 28 years old. And it's going to take him a little while and see what happens as we go along. And yeah, he was one of the hottest players and the player everybody talked about, not only in Chicago, but in all of baseball in the first month of the year. But since then, he's been struggling so bad.
His June is really, really bad.
Yeah, it's been really awful. And there were some great tweets and some great information. I know Eric Ostrowski, who is our producer for White Sox baseball, he posted them last night. And I wanted to make sure I can bring it up and talk about it, because he had some really good stuff about the situation and the way they're hitting and not hitting over the last couple of games. Here it is. The White Sox hard in the lineup. And this is because Connor McKnight brought it up. And he'll be on at 12:30 today on the pregame show here on ESPN 1000. White Sox hard in the lineup production since June 1st. their slash lines or average on base and slugging. Moncada, 200 average, 302 on base, and a 289 slug. Abreu, a 206 average, on base 231, and a slug of 333. And Yermin Mercedes, 133, 188 on base, and a 156 slug. The problem is they don't have a lot of other guys to fill in right now.
No.
You know, and you saw Jake Lammas help for a couple of days and a week or so here and there. Billy Hamilton hit a couple of home runs. So out of character for him.
Right.
Made some nice base running
plays.
But
then he gets hurt.
And then he gets hurt. Adam Eaton has been hot the first week of the season. I don't know if you remember the first 3 weeks of the season. He led the team in RBIs.
Yeah, he was the team power hitter for a little bit.
Yeah, he led the team in RBIs. He has not hit since the end of April.
Right.
And now he's hurt. So they do have a lot of injuries, and they're going to have to try and get through all this stuff. Danny Mendick works hard. Danny Mendick is a good utility player.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really make many mistakes. He puts a bat on the ball. He can play multiple positions. That's all good. Andrew Vaughn's been a godsend. You put him in left field. He's played very well. He's made some nice
and
catches.
I think you're right about Garcia. I think he may be banged up.
He's got to be, because I've seen him play.
It doesn't look right.
And the caller that called earlier today, he mentioned it. He swung at three. I had it written down here. Here we go. Lurie Garcia, three ugly swings with second and third to end the second inning.
Mm-hmm.
Second inning, the runners in second and third, they're down. They need to get something done. He swung at three pitches he had no chance of hitting. And it was brutal, absolutely brutal. And then Lynn goes out and strikes out the side in the second inning. The White Sox got to run back. Moncada with an RBI double. But then when I saw Robel Garcia with a three-run double, and I know Tyler's smiling because I looked it up right away. I go, this guy was a former Cub. He hit 200 with the Cubs. And going into yesterday's game, he was hitting 208. If I'm Lance Lynn, I'm pissed. A 208 hitter hits a three-run bases-clearing double off of me.
Do you remember his whole story, too? He was in Italy for a long time, and then the Cubs found him. And he was ripping the cover off of the ball when he was playing in Italy. And then he came to the Cubs. He had a little hot streak for like a couple weeks. And
that's
and
what then, happens to ball players.
And then he got into that. He was one of those guys who was home runner strikeout.
Yeah.
And I mean, he still to a degree is, but
yeah.
It's
Robel Garcia.
When I heard about Italy, it's like, wait a minute, that's not a typical situation. Not a lot of people we've heard
some
have
good
gone
scouting,
to play
I guess.
In Italy.
And now he's playing third base because Alex Bregman hurt himself running to first base.
Right.
Unbelievable.
See, another one of those hammy injuries.
And I'm wondering if they just need to do and have ride the bike when they're not at bat.
We talked about that.
And they're not in the field. Right. Keep those hamstrings warm.
Are we not stretching?
I don't know.
What's happening?
I'd love to talk to a trainer or some of the guys in baseball just to ask if, in fact, they are doing that between innings, you know, riding the stationary bike. You just line them up. Get them in there so they can actually, you know, keep warm. Because they do stretch. They do everything before the game. But then once the game goes and it's a three-hour game or 3 hours and 47 minutes like one of them was last week, you know, your hamstring has a tendency to tighten up, especially if you're standing in a position where you're not doing anything.
Right.
You know, they're not hitting the ball. 312-332-3776. So the White Sox look to avoid the series sweep against Houston, down in Houston before they go to Pittsburgh for a series, a short one, Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon. I'm sure a lot of White Sox fans are going to make that trip. I was going to go, but I got something that came up on Tuesday night. It's an awesome trip. You drive to Pittsburgh. You get a Tuesday night game.
That's about, what, eight?
7.5, 8 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. You get it. But PNC Park's great, from what I hear. My brother's been there.
It's one of those great experiences.
That was the last trip I think I took before the pandemic was out to PNC.
Yeah.
It's an easy drive.
Right.
And
hey, just 80 all the way, right? Yeah. I think. Yeah.
All the way. It's quick, easy.
Yeah.
With some friends. It's fun. And
nice place.
PNC is awesome. Yeah. It's a great place to see a game.
Yeah. So I wanted to go, but I'm sure a lot of White Sox fans are going to make the trip. I'm sure you have no problem getting tickets in Pittsburgh because I don't know what Pennsylvania's rules are, but I would think they're a little bit opened up. And even if they're not, I'm sure that they're not selling the tickets they're allotted right now. To the Pirates
fans.
Probably
not.
Because people aren't coming. So I expect to see a lot of White Sox fans Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon before the White Sox. Then they have Thursday off, and then they come back and they play at home against Seattle on the reopening night on
Friday. How their schedule's shaking out, but we could obviously use a couple days.
Yeah, you can use a couple days off, and it's a weird schedule. The Cubs have had the same schedule a couple times earlier this year. The White Sox have had similar schedules where they had Mondays off. The Cubs, I think, 1 month, the Cubs had 3 of the 4 Mondays off. in the, you know, and I know that you get your days off and things like that. We'll see how things go. By the way, tonight, if you're sitting around doing nothing, watching TV, and you're getting ready to go to bed, at 10 o'clock, you can really get be disgusted and as you go to bed. Because I'm going to be on Fox 32 on their show with Lou Kanellis. Talking sports.
Who okayed that?
Somebody from the, you know, Fox 32, and you know, it's you know, I wanted to make sure you got on out watched me with them, and we'll talk, you know, we'll talk about the Sox and the Cubs, and Lou will probably want to talk basketball, and I'll tell him I hate hoops and you know, stuff like that. So
you'll be Fred.
I've known Lou since Sports Phone. He was a sophomore at Loyola, and I knew him then.
I think
and I saw him out at Mongo Palooza. He was out there.
Oh, I didn't see that. I don't know him, but I think he's from my area. I think he went to school in Oak Lawn.
Yeah, he did.
Something like that. Yeah. I know some people that know him.
He's really good friends with Dave Wills, who does the Tampa Bay Rays play-by-play. So, I'll be on Fox 32 later on tonight. So if you stay up that late at 10 o'clock, flip on over to Fox 32. And
are they going to Zoom you from home?
Yes.
In your basement?
Yeah.
You got to make sure all the memorabilia is behind you.
I was just thinking.
Strategically.
How are you setting up your room?
Well, there's a Miller Lite sign behind me. Do I have to change that because they don't want to advertise it
behind
me?
Yeah, probably.
So I don't know. I got to figure something out. I'll get it done. We'll work it out. It's not long. It's just, you know, 20 minutes or something.
Why don't you green screen and put me in a pool or something?
I assume you can do that. You
could filter yourself.
Yeah, I'm not that creative. I got enough stuff in my basement. I'll find something that doesn't have any advertising on it. So, yeah, we'll do something. So it'll be fun later on tonight. We come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Father's Day because we were going to get into this a little bit earlier. But fathers in pro sports, you've got a huge list.
Father and sons.
Yeah, fathers and sons in pro sports. There's a bunch of them. We'll talk about them on this Father's Day. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Do it early because according to Tracy Butler, it's going to get awful wet a little bit later on today. Probably right when we're done here at 12:30. Thank goodness the White Sox are down in Houston. The Cubs are going to try and get one in this afternoon as they try to avoid the sweep against the Miami Marlins. I'm just getting used to now calling them the Miami Marlins instead of Florida. So we'll come back. We'll talk about some Father's Day stuff. Fathers in pro sports. We'll get to that. Xander and Fred right here, or Fred and Xander, whichever, on ESPN 1000.
This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000, also available on demand. On the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Yeah.
Happy Father's Day. We've got a lot of athletes that, dads have played and then sons have followed
right.
In pro sports.
Uh-huh.
And we're thinking about this. I know I made a list, and you guys might have, too.
I'm working on it, yeah.
And the MLB has a lot of them. I've considered...
a million of them playing right now.
Yeah, there is. There is a fair amount. The other day, we saw the Sox saw with the Blue Jays, Dante Bichette.
Yep.
His dad's name was?
No, his dad's name is Dante.
Dante, and the kid's name is
Bo.
Matt?
Bo.
Bo, that's right. Yep. Okay.
Bo Bichette.
But Dante played with the Rockies, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of them in baseball.
I mean, that whole team.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Well, and Vlad Jr.,
all
right?
Right. And then Kevin Biggio, too.
Kevin Biggio. Yeah,
Didn't even think about it. See,
yep.
So and we want your help. If you have one, maybe we're missing 312-332-3776. This is my list.
You can really help us in the NBA and NFL,
especially in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now I know that you hold on to it because you have a father son combo.
Well, I've got
that
one, and I'm sure he'll have the same one.
Okay.
Or he may.
Okay.
Have
I could not come up with one from the NBA, but we'll start off with probably the obvious one. Because I remember Bobby Bonds playing on the South Side.
Uh-huh.
So Bobby and Barry.
Yep.
Bonds. The Griffies.
Yep.
Remember Ken Griffey played with the Reds, Junior.
Yep.
Obviously played with Seattle. Then he came here for a cup of coffee. Richard and Kyle Petty. There are more Petties in racing. But Richard and Kyle Petty.
Well, there's a lot of father sons in racing.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah,
The Foyts, I think.
Yeah.
AJ,
yeah.
And there was a younger Foyt.
Yeah, Tretti's.
Vlad Guerrero and Jr., as
right.
we mentioned. Gordy and Mark Howe. Do you remember Gordy and Mark Howe played together?
You're missing
on the
one.
On the Whalers.
Gordy, Mark, and Marty. There were two.
That's
sucks.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But Mark was the more obvious. I don't think Marty.
They both played. They played for the Hartford Whalers,
and Dad joined them.
And they played for the Houston Arrows in the WHA because they beat the Chicago Fire in the Chicago Cougars in the championship game.
Okay,
back in 72-3, whatever it was.
But I remember when Mark and Gordy.
Yeah.
Were on the Whalers.
Yeah.
Maybe Marty was on the team.
There was an article the other day that the Blackhawks have one. The guy's last name is Stillman, and his dad played. And it's a guy that the Blackhawks have now.
Was it Stillman? Was that Corey Stillman?
I don't know. I don't know. I have to look it up.
Okay.
I don't know my Blackhawks as well as I should.
The Boone family, Bob.
Oh, Phillies
catcher.
The
and then you had Aaron and Brett.
Yeah, they're all over. Ray is Bob's dad. So there was Ray Boone, Bob Boone.
Oh, I forgot about Ray.
Yeah, Ray
so
was
that's
first.
Three generations.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That definitely doesn't happen often. You've got the Mannings, Archie, with Peyton and Eli.
Yeah. That's the one I had that came for right to mind.
NFL. Yep.
Yeah.
Back to baseball, Sandy Alomar, Roberto, and
sure.
Sandy Jr.
Sure.
The Alus, Felipe, and Moises.
They were all brothers. I don't think there was a...
No, Felipe was...
Moises, no.
I think Moises' father was named Felipe, no? They were all brothers?
They were all brothers.
Didn't the dad play?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We'll double check.
All right, back to hockey. Remember Keith Tkachuk?
Yeah.
He's got two kids playing now. I can't believe that.
Okay, I didn't know that.
He's old enough... Yeah, he's got Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk.
Okay.
Playing, and then I've got one more baseball, Cecil Fielder, and then Prince.
Uh-huh. Yep. Lance McCullers, who pitches today against the White Sox, his dad played. And the White Sox have a guy who's in the minor leagues, Gavin Sheets, and his dad played.
Sure.
Yeah. So Larry Sheets, I think his name was, because he was actually at one of the games the other day. Ripken. One of the more obvious ones.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Totally forgot that one.
So, the NBA guy, the first guy, the only guy I can come up with, I'm sure you'll have him.
Yeah. I think I know who you're thinking.
Go ahead.
The Currys?
No. I wasn't even thinking Currys.
The Rivers.
I was thinking a guy, slam dunk winner.
Slam dunk winner?
Or at least his dad, I think, was a slam dunk winner.
Dawkins?
Oh, the Nances?
The Nances, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Larry Nance Jr. And
then his other son plays at Northwestern.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. So, yeah, how did I forget the Currys? That was an easy one. There's got to be more in the NBA, too.
Steph's dad?
Steph's dad was Dell.
Yeah.
And then there's Steph and his brother Seth, both in the NBA.
Okay.
The Rivers, Austin, and Doc. Then you got, who else is there? The Dunleavys.
Right.
Mike and Mike Sr. And then the Bulls, Manute Bol, and then his son, Bol Bol, is with the Nuggets now. The Anthonys, Greg Anthony and now Cole Anthony. I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Let me get this Philippe Alou thing, because you're right about... Philippe Alou Jr. is a son of former major leaguer Philippe Alou, 40th round pick by the Royals in the 98 draft. He's the brother of Moises Alou. And minor leaguers Jose Alou and manager Luis Rojas, nephew of Matty Alou and Jesus Alou, and cousin of Mel Rojas. So there's like all there's Rojas's and Alou's all over the place. But yeah, I didn't remember. I knew the three were brothers at one time.
Right.
So yeah, they're all over the place.
It's got to be more in the NFL. I couldn't come up with any more in the NFL. Do you have any more?
Yeah, well, just guys running around with juniors in their back, but usually their dads didn't play ball. They're just
right.
Yeah,
right. That doesn't automatically.
I know Randy Moss's son
is about to play.
I think he got drafted last year. Thaddeus Moss.
Okay,
he was a tight end out of LSU.
Right.
He was on that national championship team.
Yeah. Yeah. There's none from the Bears I can think of. I'm sure we're missing some.
The Metcalfs. Terrence Metcalf and DK, that's one that people don't think of
because
their
of
positions are way different.
And
offensive line, wide receiver, who's like a jump ball guy.
And then their body builds are way different, too.
Yes.
Because Terry Metcalf was a smaller guy. He was a returner, if I'm not mistaken. 312-332-3776 if we're missing some. The NHL, you forgot one of the Chicago ones. Bobby Hull and Brett Hull.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, that's an obvious one.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of them. But it's very cool. You can't even imagine. Tatis, obviously. Fernando Tatis and his dad. Griffey, Guerrero, Bichette, Bonds, Ripken. They're all over. They're littered. And I was watching the College World Series last night. I had two games on. I couldn't stay up for the end of the College World Series. I think it went 12 innings. Vanderbilt finally won.
There's one for you. Jack Leiter.
Yes.
He's the pitcher there.
Yeah. And I think he'll go in the first game of the next round, which is then the next round's the final round, I think, right? Or is there's even more, I think. They beat Arizona yesterday. And they were actually down 3-0, like, first inning. And then they battled all the way back, tied it at 6, and went to 12 innings before they actually won their game. So, Jack Leiter's kid is an unbelievable pitcher for Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's other guy pitched yesterday, Kumar Rocker.
Kumar Rocker, yeah.
Yeah, and he they hit him. They were up 3-0, then they cut it to 3-2, then I think it was 5-2, and then Vanderbilt battled back again. It was a good game. It went long. It started the same time that the White Sox game started, and I went to bed at 11. And it was still going on. So that's a 5-hour game. You're lucky we're running the board for that game.
Yeah, those are long.
Yeah, those are very, very long.
Yeah, it kind of has some college football feel to it, too, where sometimes those games are like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, they're very, very long games and not a lot of scoring either. I mean, like I said, it was 6-6, but they scored 3 runs in the first inning, and then Arizona came back. So 312-332-3776. You want to jump in on any of that? Any Father's Day stuff you have? Ways your dad influenced you for your love of sports? Phrases your dad would use talking about sports with you that stuck in your head? I know there's a few. And also, are there any kids out there that were man enough to go against their dad? Maybe he's a big Cubs fan and you're a Sox fan and you said, forget it, Dad. Or Bears and Packers.
Packers.
Bears
went
Packers.
Over to the Packers.
Yeah, you got that too. 312-332-3776. Jump on in. We're also going to talk some Bears when we come back. They wrapped up their 3-day mandatory minicamp. I guess mandatory doesn't mean the same thing to Eddie Goldman. We'll talk about that more after this. Just 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.